Welcome. You are listening to the Better Together podcast with Callie and Rosario Picardo. We take on topics involving marriage, ministry, parenting, communication, relationships, and other subjects that our listeners want to hear more about.
Welcome to another edition of the Better Together podcast. I'm your co-host, Rosario Picardo.
And I'm Callie Picardo. And today we have Felicia Hamilton with us, one of my favorite people. We got to know her when she was getting her master's degree at United Theological Seminary, and now she's an ordained elder and pastor, and she has started this incredible nonprofit called I Love You, The Movement, and they're doing some amazing work. And so we wanted her to share with us today a little bit about that. But Felicia, welcome. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about I Love You, The Movement. How what is it? And where did this idea even come from?
The idea was actually birthed in my spirit over 20 years ago when I was in high school. I had actually gone through several bouts of depression, deep depression, as well as suicidal ideation and attempt. And on the seventh attempt of my life, ending my life, I actually was in my hallway in high school. I had closed my locker to record that as the last sound on a Friday. I still, whenever I tell the story, that ringing of closing the locker, I recorded that intentionally for that to be it. I had my letter written to my family, and I was praying to God. I said, God, I just need a touch. I need a touch. I need a touch from you. I was missing my mother, who had passed away at the age of 7, and I just needed some care, some nurturing. I had family, but it was a different type of desire that I needed, and it was touch. And it was actually in the hallway that day. On that weekend, I was about to take my life. I received a random hug, and it was that random hug that changed the trajectory of my life. I actually tore my letter up and started feeling differently because God had heard my prayer. And not only had he heard it, he answered it. I needed touch and I received it. And so I started walking just a little differently with a little more hope. And that's really what it was. So for the last 20 plus years, all I've been doing is handing out hope, if you will, and giving out hugs and saying, I love you, in hopes that it will change somebody else's trajectory. That's the movement. It's as simple as that.
So crazy. I mean, sometimes we think, oh my goodness, what can we do? And lives are so busy. But for you, it's someone simply slowed down to notice and to give a hug.
Yes, ma'am.
How powerful is that?
How powerful. How powerful. Yes. Yes. And so that's been my mission, my heart's mission, not my mind's mission. And my heart's mission for the last 22 years is just to pass out that same type of slow down. Pass a hug, say, I love you. And I love you is actually the prayer that I pass over people. They may not receive a different kind of prayer, but I love you is actually the prayer that I'm sharing over someone's life in Jesus's name.
So how do you, what do you exactly do in I Love You, The Movement then? Is it, do you go and give hugs or how is it organized? Like what, I mean, what do you do?
Yes. Well, what we do is it is the simplest journey, but the most meaningful. And that is the movement. And that is love is meant to move from heart to heart. That's what it is. And so what we do is in different ways, we literally go, may I give you a hug? Okay, thank you. I love you. And you move on. That's it. In different ways, just demonstrating that. And throughout the year, January 21st is actually National Hugging Day. And of course, with COVID, we've had to be a little more creative. So what we've done is we've passed hugs over the internet. We've thrown up I love you sign, taken pictures, take their own pictures within their circle, and then they've passed it on. We have people in, we have over 5,000 people, 7 countries that participate in our movements. This last year, going into the Mental Health Awareness Day, taking mental health from awareness to action. What we did was we actually wrote messages on the ground and just in chalk wherever we were, again, circles of influence, allowing people to see messages of hope. And we had that happen all over the country. We had participation, and it's just that moving to see love moving.
I love that. Funny side note, we last night our daughter was chalking our driveway
and I loved it.
Said, "Mommy, I want to write 'Daddy is wonderfully made.'" So she drew a picture in chalk for her daddy, and she wrote "Daddy" and then had me write underneath
"Oh,
wonderfully made." But how affirming to hear something like that, even from a stranger, even from someone you don't know, to see that message that someone, and I don't even know, cares about me.
And that's where it starts to, you know, even when we've done the movement, sometimes people have said no to the hug. And, you know, that didn't stop us from saying, "I love you" either way, you know, because it may not be touch. Everybody's not touch. You know, some people are touch aversive, and that's okay. But to whisper and "I love you" or to share, "Hey, I love you, take care," it has the same impact on someone's life.
I love that, because sometimes you don't even know what's going on inside. Like, often people put up this mask and
absolutely,
like, they're fine when they're dealing with suicidal ideation, when they're dealing with mental health struggles, when they're really struggling with depression and anxiety. And mm-hmm. You might see some signs, but sometimes they're pretty well masked. I mean, are there some signs we can look for? I mean, obviously we can share "I love you" with everyone, and we're going to hit some people that need it in different ways on different days. But are there some things we could be watching for in the lives of loved ones to know if someone might be dealing with depression or suicidal ideation?
Yes. First thing is, and this is where some people actually become a little more passive in the conversation. They don't want to ask anyone if they're suicidal because they think it will put them in the mindset. No, you want to go ahead and ask them. If you see certain things, if you see certain habits, we're withdrawing, if they're, we call it having the blues longer than just a few days. If you see somebody having the blues, it's not just the blues, where they're actually down, they're depressed, they're sad, giving things away. Go ahead and ask them, "How are you? Where are you? Is there anything I can do for you?" Ask those, "Are you suicidal?" Ask those questions to help them know that you're there for anything that they might be going through. Some people don't want to talk about suicide because they don't want to be sent to the hospital. They don't want to be sent to some type of external care. They don't want to be away from their family. But just hearing those words, "How are you? Are you having thoughts of suicide?" It actually brings their mind back to somebody caring. Oh, they've noticed that I'm hurt. Yes, I've been giving away things that I really love. So now somebody's paying attention to what I'm doing. That's actually an early warning sign. Say, if I love clothes, but suddenly I'm giving all my clothes away with no reason. I haven't outgrown them. They're not, that kind of thing. I haven't outgrown them. They're not too big, not too small. I'm just giving them away. I love shoes. All of a sudden, I just start giving my shoes away. That's something I love, but I'm giving somebody a piece of me so that when I'm no longer here, they have it. So if you see that, you stop them. Hey, how are you? Where are you? Where's your mind? Where's your heart? How may I help you? How may I serve you? It's called questions, response questions, to be able to serve them. But also after that, get them the help and the care that they need. On our website, we have 1-800 numbers to the national website, as well as texting for the national website and for actual counselors that are on the other side of the phone. If you are a person in need or a caregiver, you can call those national hotline numbers and get the help to say, okay, what are the next steps? And that's what so many people don't know. What are the next steps? And the next steps are simple. Stop them if you see them doing something. But if you are aware of a changing in pattern, ask questions. Be present with them. Don't let them go through that part alone, and then get them the help that they need and affirm that they're okay to have the feelings that they have, but we do need to get you the help.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's such good resources, because I think often people are like, yes, I want to be there, but I don't know how to be mm-hmm. there.
Yes. Yes. And that's the hardest part. Mm-hmm.
What are some other things we can do just to, I mean, maybe someone's not at that suicidal place, but they're dealing mm-hmm. with deep depression and, mm-hmm. you know, you're praying for them, but it is ongoing and they need mm-hmm. a breakthrough. They need maybe some more professional help. How do you help people take those steps? Because, I mean, you can't force them, but
right.
heart breaks.
Yes. Yes. And the one thing I always tell people when they're in that space and that place is the church gives you a way of hope, but therapy helps you cope. Ooh, and like it that. Is about
so the church gives you hope, but therapy hope gives you a way to gives cope. You, I love
absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the merging of those minds, you know, yourselves who are praying and spirit filled and spirit believing when they don't have the heart to believe. But how can they hear your prayers if their mind is too convoluted? That's the thing. God can get in. Yes, he can get in, but he's got to get in. He's got to peel away. He's got to, you know, he's working real hard. The Holy Spirit's working really hard. And when our minds are so bound, you know, that's why that's why we have the helmet of salvation, is to remind us, is to cover, the places that the enemy tries to take over. Because if he can take over our mind, guess what? He's got everything else in his care. You know, he's got everything else following. So with the helmet of salvation, is covering our thoughts. Yes, it's protecting us from the enemy's control. But when we then, when we take that helmet off, and unfortunately we become, our mind becomes ground, if you will, for the enemy. And so when that mind becomes the enemy's battleground, it's harder because now the forces are now fighting. And unfortunately that person is now in such, I don't want to say a defeatist mentality. They just have so much weighing on them that it just makes the Holy Spirit harder to get in. He can get in here, but it's trying to get that stuff out of here. To have the heart believe. And so taking us to therapy, it helps you understand that background, helps you uncover some of the stuff that you've been going through. It helps you to now understand how not to use suicide as a method of coping. Because suicide for some, it was for me, the ideology, the thinking, the attempts was actually part of my therapy. It was a part of those that are cutters. It's a part of our, it's a part of their therapy. It's a part of no different than someone drinking, no different than someone shopping, no different than someone eating. It's a chemical imbalance that you're trying to get back in control. So what you do is that therapy, again, whether it's through medication, through conversation and those things, it allows that person to then open up so that everything we're pouring in from the spiritual side can then have effect and now start coding what's there. It starts coding, and then the person is then able to receive because they're not so pained in their mind. So
I love that yes. marrying of the two, because I feel like there's so much stigma, especially in the church, and different mm-hmm. cultures have more yes. of a stigma with yes. mental health as well.
Absolutely.
And an aversion to therapy, an aversion to men. Like, no, I'm a believer. I shouldn't deal with these thoughts. I'm just going to keep praying them out. And yes, don't stop. Keep praying.
Don't stop praying. No, don't stop praying. Don't stop. No.
Isn't it amazing that God has given
without season?
Yeah, keep going. But yes. Isn't it amazing that God has given professionals the skills and the tools to help guide us through and uncover some of those lies that have gotten in?
Yeah.
To start yes. digging those lies out that Satan's got in there, and
absolutely
a little help to get them out.
That's right. And exactly. It's about unpacking some of the baggage, unpacking some of the pain, unpacking some of the hurt. And when you can get through some of those things, the Holy Spirit can now massage the heart. He can now massage the mind. He can now get in there and start reminding us that we are wonderfully and beautifully made. He can start reminding us that we were knit together while we were in the womb of our mother. He can start massaging us and reminding us that we were not a mistake. But so many people going through, they forget those messages. And it's easy to, because you have so much other thing competing with what's inside of your heart and in your mind and your body and your spirit. So I think it is called the SOZO, S-O-Z-O. It's the mind, body, and spirit, the taking care of all three. And so many people are, oh, we got to take care of the spirit. Yes, yes, yes. But if the spirit is so on point, but your mind is destructive and your mind is not clean and your mind is not whole, guess what? You're pouring onto a vessel that has holes. I think I've told someone before, I shared, you know, the reason why some of us can't hold on to our blessings is because why we can't be whole whole is because we have too many HOLEs in our life.
Yeah.
And then when God is pouring and when God is pouring into us, it's just seeping. It's just coming out. It's pouring out. And we're like, God, I'm whole. And he's like, well, you're whole in this area, possibly, but it's about getting everything in check. You're not obedient in your body. Your mind is over here, but yes, you go to church, you praise God, and you throw up your hands because they tell you to. But it's about everything being in tune with the Holy Spirit, everything being on one accord, drawing nearer to God so that the mind, the body, and spirit can love God, and it's through his love and receiving.
Yeah, it is. It's got to be all together and all linked up. And when it is, there's just a power there. And
yes.
I love how honest and vulnerable you are with that. Mm-hmm. And with your story, because some people might think, gosh, I'm dealing with this, then that means God can never use
right.
me. I'm damaged
yes.
goods. Like, is it even possible that God could use me? And here you are, you're serving as a pastor. I mean, and you've gone through this. And I mean, how did you get to the point of, I mean, first you went through, I know, the healing in the mental health side, but then how did you get to the point of kind of being open to, okay, yeah, God might be able to use me. He got to have me to be perfect.
Oh boy, that's its own story. And it was because, I mean, when I would teach and God would bless me to preach or minister the gospel, I would always use the example of someone that this example happened to. You know, someone received a hug and it changed the trajectory of their life, or someone was suicidal, or someone was depressed, and someone, it was never me. So it was years into ministering that I wouldn't accept it because I was told I was going to hell for my thoughts. I was told I was going to hell because of what I was feeling and what I was going through and what I couldn't be and what I couldn't overcome. God loves you. And, you know, the fact that you're even having these thoughts is going to send you to hell. And the fact that you're attempting is going to send you to hell. And if you go through with it, you're going to hell. You know, that was the moniker that was stapled in my life, but I still didn't get the help, you know? So I realized, going through therapy and going through more than one time of therapy, you know, going back, even when I was feeling sad again, going back, I finally came, and actually was the Holy Ghost, because I'll even send for you the link to my first time actually telling people that it was me. And it was my first time ever going live on the Facebook. And the Holy Spirit was like, hey, show the people what I Love You the Movement is. And I'm like, these people don't care about this, you know? And I'm like, okay. All right, God, it took me about a month to actually do it. I get in my car and I go over to the Huber Heights Kroger. And I'm sitting there and I'm telling the people about, you know, this movement, and I'm sharing my story. Well, I'm sharing a story. And then finally, the Holy Spirit says, tell them it was you that was dealing with suicide. And there's even a moment in my eyes where I'm welding in tears, because I'm like, I'm having to make a split second decision. Am I going to obey? Or am I going to keep hiding the secret? I mean, I'm choking a little bit, but I'm still, I mean, my first live was 9 minutes long. So that tells you how inexperienced I was in this space. But I start welding. And then I said, and the person suicidal was me. And I admitted that. And I mean, there were, I don't know how many people were on this live. That part wasn't important to me. It was, you have a choice to make right here and right now. Are you going to be honest before man so that I can keep healing you? Or are you going to lie before man? Because Galatians 1:10 says, are you going to serve man or me? And if you're going to serve them, then you don't need me, you know, then what I don't need to be here with you. You know, you go ahead and serve them, but serve me. And that's what he said right then in that moment. He said, tell them it was you, you know, and I it was a split second decision. And I said, God, I love you. And I said, and it was me. And then I shared my story for the first time. That was 3 years ago. That was the first time I had ever shared my testimony, my story. And it was in front of anybody to see. And, you know, I still, when I see that, I get choked up, and I still am even scared to this day about sharing my story sometimes, because it's one of those things that some people do still look at and go, yeah, you're going to hell, you know, for even having the ideation. And leaving United was the stigma of suicide. And how we as a church have to come on behalf of supporting those that deal with it and their families. So
thank you for your vulnerability and for sharing, because Satan likes to keep us in hiding, and the truth sets us free.
Absolutely.
And to Christ. But I also know your testimony is setting others free, others who feel like they have that cloak of shame covering them.
Yes.
You taking that off yourself is helping others take off that cloak of shame. So Felicia, thank you.
Go God.
Thank you for being obedient to God, for letting God use you, for creating I Love You the movement, for sharing hugs and love and resources with the world around. Gosh, Felicia, I just, as the Better Together podcast, it really just feels like, you're helping give us some practical ways to be better together, to love in world filled with hate. As we prepare to kind of conclude the podcast, do you have any parting words of encouragement, any, your hopes for people, the hope that you've received that you're hoping others will share with others?
Yes, it's real simple. Let all you do be done in love. That's it. Whether it's the hug, whether it's a smile, whether it's a kind word, whatever it is, let it be done with the motive of sincerity. I think we have to get back to the place of authenticity. We have to get back to the place of ownership as believers, of loving God and then loving the people, loving God, loving self, and loving people. But understanding that in loving God, we have to be vulnerable before Him to be able to truly love who's in the mirror. And in truly loving who's in the mirror, we can then share that love with the world. We can share that authentic smile, that genuine peace that is resting on the inside of us. And people will feel that. And they will then come running asking, what must I do to be saved, to be healed, or to become whole? And that's what we should do.
Amen. Amen. That'll preach.
Oh, go God.
Well, Felicia, how can people get connected with I Love You the Movement if they want to learn more? And I know you've got some resources on your website as well for mental health and suicide prevention. Where can they find you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And yes, sir. We can be found at www.ilythemovement.com. And the ILY stands for I Love You, but it's ILYthemovement.com. Again, yes, like you said, we have resources for both the caregiver as well as the person in need of care. We can come speak to groups. We just had an opportunity to speak with the Huber Heights girls basketball team not long ago and empower and encourage. So we do that just to make sure, because what the kids are going through right now is so much. They have a lot that they're competing with at a much younger age than I think we did. And so being able to instill that hope, reminding them that they're loved, reminding them they're important is important. So those resources are there. We're available to come speak. We're available to partner with any initiative that anyone needs to be able to put forward light, love, and hope.
Well, we want to just thank you for being a blessing to us. And if you're listening to this podcast and you want to get a hold of Felicia, we encourage you to do it. We also encourage you to share this podcast as well. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, a coworker, somebody that really needs to get real, because we can only heal when we get real. And I just want us to be encouraged today. And so pass this along. And remember, we are better together.